unless you live under a rock or other places where you're disconnected. The world is dealing with a virus, and it has put many limitations on things, but we're all dealing with it and dealing with it together, which is very important. And yeah, so we
did you hear that the big brother house in Germany didn't know about it for like a few weeks, and then they finally told them?
Is it just hidden cameras, like there's no people who actually like go into the house?
Yeah, they have no contact with the outside world, apparently.
I guess that's good.
Like, there's camera people, but they don't engage with them. So, apparently.
What do you think about that?
So they finally decided to tell them.
I would want to know
if...
I think that's a good decision, though. Like,
to tell them?
Okay, let's say I'm in charge of that production. I would tell their families. I'd say... they're in the house, they're essentially abiding by all the regulations, and should we just keep filming and we can inform them if anything happens to you guys? You know what I mean? Like, I guess...
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Because at least they finish what they've set out to do.
I would want to know, but as a producer, I wouldn't want to tell them.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, right? Like, if I was on that cast, though, I guess that's what I'm thinking of. If I was on that cast, I would be like, I understand why you didn't tell me. I would have wanted to know, but also, what difference would that have made? Like, now,
yeah, I can see why.
Now I have to go live in another house where I can't leave. Like, that's what I was doing on the show.
Unless it was urgent for me to get home or, like, back to my own country or whatever it is. Like, unless there was some sort of risk. But if not, it's like, yeah, keep your TV show filming as long as they're safe.
Yeah, that I guess that's the main concern. Like, the first thing I brought up was, like, you know, I wouldn't want to come out and hear, like, oh, and your friend had it and passed away. Like, I'd be like, okay, come on. Like, come on, guys.
But we got the shoot. We got the show done.
Oh, man. I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about those UFO videos that were released by the Navy. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
And they're like, you know, they're talking, do you think it's aliens in there or not? Is it, like, man-made? And then he was like, imagine that if, like, an alien invasion happened now. Like, it's just like, oh, man. So funny.
Well, all at once. Just get it over with.
Yeah. Well, to our listeners, welcome to Taylor and Eric Rule the World. I am Eric Kianfar.
I'm Taylor.
Yeah. And,
the other one.
Yeah. And, you know, we used to record this podcast every week, and we're going to try and get that started again, where we discuss, like, the nitpicky rules of society, like the unspoken rules, you could say, the ones that you're on the fence about, whether you should abide by or not, or whether you should enforce or not in your social community. And I guess today's episode, I bet we're going to have a lot regarding... rules of quarantine and isolation during this pandemic. But we're not talking about, like, the straightforward rules. Like, we're not arguing against,
like the government issued.
Yeah.
Stay inside.
I reached out to friends to ask, like, can they share some rules? But I had a hard time trying to, you know, just communicate that we're not arguing against, you know, it's not about when this should end or how far away you should stand from people or whether you should wear a mask or not a mask. So,
but it's the little ones that come along with that territory.
Yeah, exactly. So do you want me to just jump right in, get this started? Okay.
Yeah, let's get into it.
So the first one we're going to tackle is we're going to do a shout out to Katie. It's the topic of when two individuals are walking towards one another on a sidewalk, who moves off the sidewalk to abide by the 6 foot separation rule. So she wrote, who gets off the sidewalk is a big one, especially when it's little kids on bikes, scooters, or in strollers. When other people don't move and I take our kids into the road, they will often apologize and say they should have moved. Well, then why didn't you? But when it's other families with little kids, it gets more complicated. So,
because my immediate reaction is going to be, if you are over 18, you are the younger party of the two. If everyone's over 18, like we're talking adults, if everybody is an adult in this situation, the younger person should get out of the way. That was my initial reaction. Then I thought about kids.
Okay, so let's do scenario based.
Kids, it wouldn't apply scenario based.
So if if you can clearly discern that there's a younger individual, the younger one moves out of the way when you're talking about adults.
Yes, that's my opinion.
Okay. Have you encountered this in your, like...
We've had a few walks out in the neighborhood. And the reason I thought of this is because if there's an older person, I think it's kind of like our duty to make them move make them not have to get out of the way. Like we should be using our youth to get out of their way. I'm trying not to say because we can move better than them. Like
we're more mobile.
I'm trying not to be ageist here.
Yeah, but we put ourselves at risk on the road. Like, shouldn't it be the older person who puts themselves at risk so that the younger generation can move on? Okay, let's not go there. It's not about who's sacrificing who, especially in this current state of affairs in the world.
And hopefully you wouldn't, walk next to someone instead of jumping in front of a car, just for future reference.
Yeah, you're talking about you get on the grass or you get on the, the curb. You're not walking on the road.
Yeah, so, and I think if it's, like Katie was saying, two families with strollers, I think there should be equal responsibility for everyone to kind of hop onto the grass, leave the sidewalk vacant.
You know what I think about? I think about even before all this happened, when people walk dogs, they tend to walk up onto the nearest driveway and they sit there with their dog and they let me or whoever pass. I'm not saying I expect them to do that, but it's something that I do note. And I feel like just whoever is closest to the driveway or a kind of turn off of the sidewalk, you just kind of pull off for a bit, let the other party pass and then move on.
Kind of like if there's a car pulled over in the street and it only makes one lane. Who is the car? Is it the car that is behind the parked car on the same side? Are they the one who's supposed to
stop? It's the younger driver. It's the, you go by the license plate stickers.
So I guess
it's just like, oh, you're born in December. I got to move out of the way.
So I guess what I would round up that rule to say is the more vulnerable party, the person for whom it would be more difficult to move should get to keep walking on the sidewalk.
I feel like this idea of vulnerability too, like there's the vulnerable sector of the population.
If there's five kids and a family and you have two kids, it's going to be easier for you and your two kids to get out of the way. And I think just having an eye and, seeing what's coming and planning ahead.
Heather shared a response to this one. She said she was saying to her husband, Jim, the other day, there should be a set of baseball-style hand signals to communicate who plans to move where. So,
oh, okay.
So if we were to employ a signal, what would that signal look like? Because you're essentially using traffic rules on sidewalks now, like turn signals or reverse or so on and so forth.
My immediate thought at that one was just shouting, I'm going to move. And then moving. But that's not a signal.
I don't know how strongly I would want to enforce that as a rule. I think this idea of the youngest moves, the or not even the youngest, what did you say? The less vulnerable.
The most vulnerable.
Most vulnerable party stays.
The less vulnerable party. Yes, most vulnerable stays, less vulnerable moves. Yeah,
and just do it as early as possible to avoid awkward situations. Like, it's not like chicken where you wait till the last moment. It's like you're like 8 feet, 7 feet.
And it doesn't even bother me that much. I'm kind of already in the mindset of I should probably move regardless. Like, I've kind of just made that up in my mind. The next boulevard, like driveway or whatever that comes up, I'm going to take that, go onto the road, and then come back up onto the road.
Okay. All right. That's all I got for.
I've been rollerblading a couple times too, and I've been either on the street or on the sidewalk, but only on the sidewalk if there's no one coming my way.
Do you prefer the sidewalk?
Like you said, that's kind of a. It depends on the street. Mm. I want the smoothest ground possible. If it's a nice smooth road, I'm out on the road. I love it. If the road is bumpy and terrible, I go up on the sidewalk. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because although it's bumpy on the sidewalk, kinda like the, like, at least it's like a manageable, regular bumpy.
It's smooth. Yeah. Some roads are like your whole body vibrates and you're like, I can't handle this. But that's kind of like your point of the dog. It's the person who's like, I don't want to say doesn't belong on the sidewalk, but me and my rollerblades are more of a disturbance to the regular walker. Mm. Just like someone and their dog could be more of a disturbance to a regular walker. So the person, so in that situation, the person without the dog or the rollerblades is more vulnerable. So they should get to stay.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we're pretty firm on that one then. So if you're walking and you come across someone coming towards you, the less vulnerable party crosses the street.
But Eric, you might say, what if it looks like the other person is also young, healthy, and in their 30s?
Another family with two
kids.
What
do I do?
Like, you're...
Who are the same, they're close.
Yeah. Then you've met your long lost family, I guess, and you shouldn't move, and you should introduce each other and make plans for after this all ends to come together and
for when this all blows over.
That means you go home. That's what
I would
say.
When in doubt, my final thought on this is: when in doubt, just move.
Yeah,
first be the first one to pull the plug on your sidewalk experience. Mm.
I think the main reason this is on the list as well as a rule to discuss is to avoid that awkward scenario. So I think the earlier the better. Like, don't even wait for it to become a thing.
Yeah. Just go.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to, let's see. Okay. Ben Hush says, mute your mic when you're in a teleconference until you're ready to talk.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So you've had your Zoom meetings?
That's big time. Corey has been in a few meetings with upwards of 200 people. And for the first few, there were a handful of people who were not muted. And it was obvious there was like crunching or rustling or dogs or kids. And I think there was a bit of a learning curve, but I would say, I would give like a 2 week buffer. So from the start of all of this,
for people to kind of get used to the way of doing things.
And then there's been a few people in some of my meetings that we've had to kind of help out and just say, hey, I think the feedback might be coming from you. And then they get it and they understand. And, but yeah, it's quite often you don't realize it, which I think is the difficult, part. Like, you could be outside having a great day talking on your Zoom meeting or whatever, but the wind, you don't know how the wind sounds to the people on the other end, but to them it's like,
yeah. I'm going to say, actually, I'm pretty disappointed that there is no mute function while we're recording this podcast. Like, there are times when it's just you talking, and I mean, do I take my headset off and cough or drink water?
is our breathing being picked up? I guess we'll never we will only know
once when it's posted. We play back. Like, if you hear some rustling, it's I'm not outside hiding in a bush. It might be my beard brushing against the microphone,
right?
so mute your mic.
But yeah, that's a big one. And also, why keep it on once you know that the mute function exists?
That's exactly take advantage of it. What I was so you can get at. Yeah, like, just
like, blow your nose, take a drink of water. Like,
there's actually certain like on Zoom or even other video chats I've used. There's a push to talk button, like. On Zoom, you can hit...
Yeah, like a space bar thing.
You hold space, you say what you need to say. When you let go, it mutes. And like...
Kind of like a walkie-talkie.
Exactly. And I like that, you know? And as a host, you can just mute everybody. And you can... I guess what... They do it for webinars sometimes. Like, you hit that you have your hand up and the person hosting the call or meeting, they can unmute you when it's your turn.
Yeah, so you're kind of just, you're in attendance. You're like, you're viewing their presentation and you can't disrupt it.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess here's the question. Is there any argument for the other side?
I don't think so.
So,
if you disagree with us, tell us and tell us why.
I really want to know what the argument for the other side is. It's like, yeah, but I like to hear those little pops and fizzes and farts.
Yeah.
It's all about the downtime, guys. That's where the magic happens.
It's tough because we did a fitness class online, and the woman leading it had to have her mic on the whole time, but it was like her dog was howling and barking and kind of rustling around, which is tough because that's more your environment. If you know you're going to be needing your mic on the whole time, I guess you got to figure something out with that dog, right?
Yeah.
So it's tough.
Oh man. Yeah. And like, I mean, even with our podcast, like, we found that corner of the room, you know, where it sounded fairly well. And we started putting the blanket on the table just to get a better sound. So we're not hearing like the vent, or even putting the computer on the table, like, added to the noise. So
soon enough, we'll be in a shed with egg cartons.
Exactly.
It'll sound perfect.
Let's see. There are two comments on this. Ben also added that he said, oh no, sorry. That's the same one. So it's just one comment. okay. So we got Alicia. This is huge. I was doing a Zoom soccer fitness session with some teammates, and someone was listening through a headset, and all I could hear the entire time was heavy breathing. Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, I've heard about that too, that if you are listening through a different method than everyone else, like whether it's your headphones or your computer speakers or a microphone, it could sound different.
Oh yeah.
And like, and the heavy breathing I've heard is like a kind of a unfortunate trend.
I was going to say you were talking about that fitness lesson that you did over Zoom, or was it Zoom?
Yeah, it was Zoom.
Yeah. And you could hear the dog. I was thinking, like, oh well, why doesn't she just put on a headset? And but then now you'll probably just hear heavy breathing because the person's probably doing the actions at the same time as you.
Yeah, they were doing like it was a yoga thing. So they're probably like breathing out.
All right. So, yeah, listeners, if you can think of any possible argument against why you wouldn't keep your mic muted, please let us know. And then we got Arlene Firth. She shared, when you get a delivery to your door, for example, Purelator, Uber Eats, anything, wait exactly 8 seconds before opening the door so you don't startle the delivery person with your lack of distance etiquette, but you can still yell thank you while they're in earshot because manners aren't dead.
Oh, I love that. So yeah. I've been struggling to find a way because we've been getting a fair amount of deliveries, probably like most people. Trying to, because I do also want to say thank you to them, but I don't want to like rush out and grab the package or. Yeah, so that's 8 seconds. Interesting. So I wonder if it depends on like the kind of house you're in.
So far, oh yeah, I guess if you're in an apartment, like your living room might just be right there by the front door. So if you get a delivery to the front door, I don't know what your experience has been, but the deliveries I've had has been a knock or a doorbell ring, and then by the time I get to the door, they're walking to their car and I yell, thank you. Like I've experienced this and I'm glad I've been able to, you know, say thank you. That like, obviously the delivery person's wearing like a vest and a mask and all these gloves and stuff. And it's great. Like, I mean, they're bringing supplies and resources to people who want them.
Yeah. There's a, I found that Amazon and like Canada Post and Purelator, they have all been pretty good. They knock and they leave the package right there. Just like you said, and I try to see them if I can and yell thank you. But the ones I've found that have been interesting are the food delivery ones. So we've gotten takeout like a handful of times, and I've found that Uber Eats and Skip the Dishes, they've got their, and DoorDash, they've got their like, we're contactless. Just put a note in the thing that says leave on porch or whatever, and you pay in advance. And we've done that, but the one time the driver was wearing a mask and gloves, and they were really late, and they were apologizing, but they were at the door with the food. But I was like, just leave it on the step. Like it's. So let's say, I don't know if they're not reading those messages or what it is, but food, like two or three times I would say they've waited and handed me the food. And it's like, you didn't read the message or you're not up with what's going on. Like I've already paid. You could like, yes, it's in a bag. You can leave it on the porch. It's fine. So I don't know.
So they were apologizing to you? Like they waited to apologize that the food was late?
Yeah.
Oh.
So... It was a little odd, but he was wearing a mask and gloves, and that was great. But just stay at the end of the porch, drop the food, and I'll wave and say thank you. Like I don't care that it's late. Things happen. Yeah. Whatever.
It's like
he was very apologetic.
Yeah, I appreciate. Yeah, he was very apologetic, but
just stand back, please.
Yeah, now's not the time. You know.
I don't know. Yeah, so package delivery has been great, but food delivery I have found has been. I don't know if they're like afraid to put the food down or what it is.
It is a good, and
it's also,
go ahead.
I was just going to say the people doing all those deliveries, like they don't all work for the restaurants. So I'm wondering if they've all, it's kind of like Uber, you know, they've all got their own individual practices, but I guess Amazon hires out random courier companies too. So they could all be working by their own playbook too. So
I wonder if if the same kind of courier people are delivering your food, I wonder if they've also delivered Amazon stuff. It just so happens that maybe food they're a bit more sensitive about because maybe they don't want it to be cold or something like that. They want to make sure that animals don't get it while it's sitting on your porch. Like
that's true. It could be. Have you guys ordered any food?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's one of those things.
No experiences
where,
like that.
Like I, they should leave it on the porch and leave. Like, if the person's not home to receive it, where are they? Like, during this time, like, are they playing chicken on a sidewalk, like down the road? Like,
yeah. So I don't know, but I agree with that. I like that 8 seconds thing. Yep. I think it certainly depends on where you live and the type of house you have. But I would say
this is where you've been training for this your whole life, Taylor. You said when the doorbell rings, you go and you hide, right? So, you know, just
I can't believe you remember that.
Just enough time for
when we were kids. Yeah, when we were kids, we were terrified and we would hide because we didn't want to answer the door. But now it happens almost every day, so it's becoming a very common thing, and I'm not afraid anymore.
I'm not afraid anymore.
Oh, that's awesome. No, that's a really good rule. I don't think there would be... I can imagine some people arguing that it's like their only social interaction that they might encounter, but I don't think that's a good enough argument. Like, just... where we need to
that has to
pull through this in some way, and don't put the delivery by the wayside in jeopardy. Right.
exactly you can say thank you to them from afar, and they have to go off to their next place. So
so that's all I've got for today. Is there anything you want to add, or maybe we can save it for another time? You can bring a list.
Yeah, that kind of covers it. I mean, that covers what's been on my mind lately. So good, good feedback. Thank you to our listeners for chipping in.
Arlene, Alicia, Katie, Ben. Yeah, it's all good. Heather as well. Yeah, thanks for sharing. Thanks for listening. If you're listening to this one, thanks for hanging in there with us and keeping this podcast going.
Yeah, we appreciate all the love. Thanks for following on Facebook, Taylor and Eric Rule the World. We're also on Instagram at TERWpod. You can shoot us a rating on wherever you're listening, or give us a review, tell your friends. I know you may have some downtime right now, so feel free to go back into the archives if you want to listen to less depressing rules.
Oh, for sure. Go find that doorbell episode I was referring to.
Exactly. Man, I thought about, just as an aside, I thought about the Willem Dafoe story the other day, and I'm like so sad that I didn't ask him for a photo.
That's so funny.
But he saw it years there.
Willem, you take the photo. I always think of that. Okay, you can find us on Twitter. I am at Eric Yanfar.
And I'm at Taylor Axford. And thank you for joining us in our quest to rule the world, and please stay safe.
Yeah, take care.
Taylor and Eric rule the world.